Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
A while back, an obituary caught our eye. A thoughtful woman looked out from a photo. Just 73, she died of ovarian cancer. And then we read she came up with a staggeringly effective intervention to prevent suicide, a note tucked in a pocket. Well, we wanted to learn more. Barbara Stanley was a psychologist, Columbia University professor, and director of suicide prevention training at New York State Psychiatric Institute. She devised the plan with colleague Dr. Gregory Brown. Anyone who is listening, who's having thoughts of harming themselves, please remember the National Suicide Prevention Hotline is 988. But now let's find out about the Stanley Brown Safety Plan from psychiatrist Paul Nestat, a professor of psychiatry at Johns Hopkins School of Medicine, one of many who call it a game changer. Dr. Nestat, Paul, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
This just sounds so important. Dr. Brown and Dr. Stanley came up with it initially as a short-term strategy for young people who are waiting for long-term therapy, which is so hard to get. But it became so effective that it was used as an intervention on its own. What is it?
What the safety plan is essentially is a document that a patient and their therapist can work on collaboratively, where a plan is developed for what to do if suicidal thoughts start to sneak up on you or start to get worse. So the safety plan essentially walks a person through some of the things that they think will work best for them. Some interventions they can do themselves to get their mind off of things. Maybe it's something like listening to music or taking a walk, that kind of thing. It depends on that particular person, what works for them. Mm-hmm. And moving on to things that you do if that's not working, that range from things like calling a trusted friend or a therapist or even calling the hotline.
Which, by the way, the National Suicide Prevention Hotline, 988. So that might be in your note.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. Mm-hmm. It would be the hotline number or even things that are even more urgent. So you might even have 911 listed there as a reminder. Mm-hmm. And really importantly, the final part of the plan is to make sure that you're in a safe environment. When someone is having suicidal thoughts, access to a lethal weapon is maybe one of the most important distinguishers of risk. If there's a gun in the house, make sure you don't have access to it. It's locked up. Or if there's medicines that would potentially be dangerous to swallow, hand those over to somebody else or get them away or flush them down the toilet. These are really straightforward, concrete interventions that can save a life. And that's why the plan was so powerful.
Wow. You know, it wasn't new to have a document. For a while, the thinking was, have patients sign a no-suicide contract saying, I won't do this. But that seems kind of flimsy.
Yeah, it is flimsy. You know, it was standard of practice for a long time. But to be honest, I think it was more to reassure or to protect the therapist than the patient. You know, there was a sense that something was being done. It was never really based on solid evidence.
Barbara Stanley, who's passed, and this is her legacy, she actually would point to instances where people were standing on the railing of a bridge and pulled their plan out of their pocket and read it. They stepped down, walked away.
And that's not unique to her experience. I can tell you as a psychiatrist myself who've treated patients using safety plans or patients that have had safety plans written with other therapists, people carry these around with them. Sometimes they're stuck to the fridge with a magnet, but often they're kept in the wallet. There's an iPhone app version that people keep in their phone so that when those thoughts come, you can carry this thing with you like a talisman. Mm. And it's powerful to have patients able to use a tool like that.
We know this works in other ways as well. I mean, there are people who might have a little card from a 12-step organization that they mm-hmm. tuck in their wallet and they pull that out if they think they're going to fill in the blank, you know, have a drink, take a drug. It does something. And for people, it might be a prayer card, you know, that they keep. What do you think that thing is that's happening in that moment?
Well, I think it's just human psychology. You know, when we have a physical thing, a manifestation of what we've been thinking about, a manifestation of our actual plan, it's reassuring. You can hold it in your hand. It's not as slippery as a thought. It's something you actually have.
Yeah. Dr. Stanley said that it stayed with patients. So years after they might have used the safety plan, taken it out of a pocket and used it in a moment where they thought they were going to take their life, they could remember the exact moment or remember what happened. And 2/3 of the people she worked with had used their safety plan at least once.
It's not surprising to hear that. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if it was an even higher number. If you have that safety plan, you're going to use it when you have those thoughts. And unfortunately, people that have had suicidal thoughts are likely to have suicidal thoughts again more often than not.
veterans groups seized on this. And in 2018, a Veterans Affairs study of more than 1,500 people who had suicidal thoughts. And by the way, can you just jump in there for a second?
Sure.
Define that. I mean, for somebody who might be listening and saying, I have a loved one, I'm not quite sure. How do you know someone's having a suicidal thought?
Well, suicidal thoughts are essentially what they sound like. They're thoughts about ending your life. And very commonly, they're a symptom of a psychiatric illness like depression, which is important to note because it means that they're treatable. Illnesses are treatable. Depression is eminently treatable when you seek care. So a suicidal thought can take many forms. For most people, it is literally thinking that they might be better off dead. In some cases, even thinking about how they might end their lives, going as far as making a plan or even making preparations to attempt suicide.
Yeah. Well, the Veterans Administration found that people in that category, you know, who were drawing up a plan to take their lives, if they were told, well, how about not taking your life in that moment, draw up a suicide safety plan. The research showed that a suicide safety plan and follow-up phone calls reduced attempted suicides by 45%, almost half.
That's true. And you know, there was a meta-analysis that looked at other studies like that and found it was consistent. Across all studies that used a suicide safety plan, there was a reduction of about 43% on average in suicidal behaviors. It's really effective. Mm-hmm. And I think the reason it's effective is because you're giving someone an alternative. When people think about suicide, very often, they're thinking about suicide because they can't think of any other alternative. They're in terrible pain and they don't know what to do. And suicide seems like the only thing to do. So by giving someone something else they can do, you've essentially given them a way to live.
Yeah.
People ultimately would rather live without pain than die. They just don't know how to do that.
Yeah. As a professor of psychiatry at Johns Hopkins, you, Dr. Nestat, have dedicated a lot of your professional life to studying and teaching about suicide and how to prevent it. Talk to someone who might have a loved one that they fear for. Mm-hmm. Again, they should probably, you know, seek a personal professional opinion. But should people suggest this to people in their lives?
Yeah, you know, I think, as you said, it's always better to have a professional that can do a full assessment. But in the meantime, this is something people can even do by themselves. It's a plan that can be downloaded from Barbara's website or any number of places, and people can work through it themselves. It's better to do it with a therapist that can help make sure that the plans are actionable, implementable, that kind of thing. But having any kind of safety plan is better than nothing, so I would encourage it. So if you have a loved one who's struggling, who might be having suicidal thoughts, the first thing to do is to ask them about whether they're having thoughts. There's never a danger in asking someone about that. There's a myth that you might plant the seed of an idea, but that's been pretty disproven. People aren't that plastic. So you ask them to find out. Even if they're not honest with you at that moment, you've at least communicated to them that you're willing to talk to them about that. And then the next step is obviously to recommend help, maybe help them find someone, a professional to help. But in the moment, suggesting a suicide safety plan and, importantly, helping them prevent access to lethal means of suicide, you know, making sure there's not a gun in the house, that kind of thing, can be an immediate step that anyone can do. And I encourage you to do that.
And we need to remind people, if you live in a state that has red flag law and someone you know is suicidal and has access to a gun, you can petition through courts to have that gun removed. Just want to throw that out. But what if you were put on the list of someone's plan and they call you? What do you do?
That is such a great question. Some people, as they're writing their plan, they reach out to the person who might be called to let them know that they're an emergency contact for them. And in that conversation, you can find out what they want to happen. Sometimes that call is just to talk to someone they know cares about them, not even necessarily about suicidal thoughts, but just to talk. How's your day going? Did you see the game last night? That kind of thing might be all it takes for the suicidal crisis to pass. Sometimes it just passes. Other times, they're looking to actually talk about what they're going through, maybe even do some problem solving. But ultimately, the most important thing is to be there and let the person who's having suicidal thoughts know that there are people that want to help, that there are people that are listening, that there are people that are available.
Psychiatrist Paul Nestat, professor of psychiatry at Johns Hopkins University, as we honor the legacy of Dr. Barbara Stanley, who came up with this idea of a suicide crisis plan for people with thoughts of suicide, and it saves lives. Dr. Nestat, thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.